Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the West Ham fan show here on Love Sport Radio, and he's gone. After all of that drama, all of that wind-up, which started back in January, you're finally shot of Marko Arnautović. Good news, bad news, pleased to see the back of him.
Go on, James. I'm more pleased, to be honest, that we're back together.
I was going to say, before we get into rant mode, it's nice to have the gang back together. It's good to have you back, Will.
Remember, it's been 2 weeks, two long weeks.
You've forgotten, by the way, that when the band wasn't back together, he was here calling you Deadwood live on the radio.
Yeah, I've forgiven him for that.
Yeah, exactly. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
To be fair, I'd actually forgotten until that very moment. You just mentioned it, but I forgive him for that. But you know, just I've got over Glastonbury.
Just about, yeah. I think yesterday was the first time I started feeling a little bit more normal again.
Good.
And just a tirade of transfer news to get me back into the real world.
Nice.
But, yeah, no, I've missed you, James. You know, I've missed you, really. No, Deadwood or not.
Thanks, mate. Okay, rant mode.
Right.
I'm delighted that Arnie's gone. I'm not even going to call him Arnie anymore. I won't give him the satisfaction of me giving him a nickname. Arnautović, he's gone, and I'm pleased about it because the last thing West Ham needed in this transitional period, which I still think it is a transitional period, under Pellegrini, who's lost his director of football. And you know, we played some good football last year with a new stadium finally feeling as if it's beginning to feel a little bit like home, and then you've got a player like that who's throwing his toys out the pram because he wants to go to China. His brother, who was a real bad influence on the whole thing, but to give him a pay rise in January and him to say I'm back and then not score for 5 months and then score 3 in his last two and then leave, I mean, who do you think we are? I mean, I want players to play for West Ham United to show a little bit more respect. Like, if you want to leave, okay, say to the owners, like Chicharito's done at the moment. He's gone, I'd quite like to leave. You know, I feel as if my time here is done. But if I end up staying, I'm happy about it. And he's not forced to move. He's gone, it looks like he's going to stay. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. But it looks like he's going to end up staying for another year. That is the behaviour that you want to see from a player that should know better than that, really. And I've washed my hands of him.
You know what? And this whole situation, I've been semi-pragmatic about Arnautović for the simple reason that he's put the ball in the net for the majority of time he's been at the club. And we've had so many players before. I'm talking Di Michele, I'm talking Elan, Kepa Blanco, Gökhan Töre, Sofyan Feghouli.
Quite good, I liked him.
We've had so many players who've pulled on a West Ham shirt and have deserved to get paid absolutely nothing. Whereas Arnautović, all right, you know, he's not the... We also knew what we were getting. We knew what we were getting. That's how he came to us. It feels a little bit like when you start going out with someone who's cheated on someone else to be with you, and then you're surprised when they do the same thing to you. So there is a little bit of that.
Yeah,
but
that,
on the whole, he put the ball in the net for the most of the time he went to West Ham. However, I do agree, even for me, pragmatic William Pugh over here, the stuff after January, getting the extra money and then saying, oh, I'm back, and then just doing it again in the summer, that's even too much for me, to be honest.
Well, one man who was rather more popular when pulling on a West Ham shirt was Martin Allen, Love Sport's very own, who I'm delighted to say joins us on the line now. Evening, Martin. Thanks for joining us. What's your take on Arnautović? If you were West Ham gaffer, would you have been driving him to China yourself?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Oh, God. I saw him play, 18 months ago, and I thought, oh, my God, what an amazing player. He was one of the best players I've ever seen in a West Ham shirt. He was amazing. He was fearless. He was leading that team, playing centre-forward under David Moyes. He was outstanding. And then all these things come up about a Chinese takeaway, and all of a sudden, his game, it was like a completely different person, a completely different player. He was lost. He lost interest in everything. And the crowd rightly turned on him. the manager would have been absolutely tearing his hair out, and his teammates would have been absolutely livid with him. This deal is the best thing that could possibly happen to get him out of the door early, to give West Ham a chance to early get in and get a replacement, of a positive replacement in. That's an ambulance, not a police car.
I was about to say that. Finally catching up with you, Martin.
No, I've just hiding under my car.
Martin.
No, the best thing to happen is to get shot of him.
Martin, I totally agree with you. He's obviously a bad egg, and he has been for some time, probably since the January thing. And whilst I do think that in any profession, if someone offers you four times as much money to go and do the same thing for probably less pressure, then, you know, I think no problem at all turning your head. Is there any part of you that thinks, because, like you said then, he was one of the best players you've ever seen in a West Ham shirt, because he did do that for, I would say, the majority of the time that he pulled on a West Ham shirt, all right, it's not ended well at all, but because of what he did in a West Ham shirt for so long, and he did actually try for a lot of games, and he did put the ball in the net, and he was by far our best player for some time when no one else was doing anything, do you think that buys him a little bit of more favour with you, or not so much?
No. I think the way he's conducted himself and the way he's behaved and sulked, and I don't agree that. If Zaha doesn't get his move from Crystal Palace that he wants to Arsenal, I can fully expect Wilfred Zaha will give 110% to Crystal Palace, and he will run himself into the ground, and he will do everything he can to get wins for Crystal Palace.
Yeah,
fully agree.
The big question.
Anatovic, he would give nothing.
No, I think you're right.
He'd give nothing.
Well, he did, absolutely, towards the end of last year. Do West Ham now need another striker? Or can you rely on Chicharito?
No. He's a goal scorer. He plays in the last final third. He's not going to win you games and play in a good team.
Or win any headers.
That sub that you put on, and he'll nick you a goal when you're dominating a game and it's 1-1 with 15 minutes to go. You put him on and he'll get you a goal. He's not the centre-forward. He wasn't at Manchester United. He's one of them that comes on and does his little bit when he needs to. He's not your reliable centre-forward. If I was them at West Ham, I'd go for that Diego Costa at Atletico Madrid and get him back to London and let that warrior out into the London Stadium and let him lead the line. I would love him to be going to West Ham. He's always going to be in trouble, but even if it's a good year for him, yeah, I'd have him back.
But Martin, what do you think of the way that West Ham have dealt with the departure of Arnautovic? I mean, I said on this show last week that, you know, it's about time that West Ham stopped going for these players that have the potential to really turn their back on the club and show a lot of disrespect, as Arnautovic has done, as Payet did a couple of years ago. The club was quite brutal in the statement they put out, didn't wish him good luck, which they tend to do quite professionally with other players that leave. How do you think the club's dealt with this? Because the club has come under a lot of pressure and a lot of stick over the last few years in terms of their transfer dealings.
Well, it was a brutal statement, but I don't think the player would be one bit bothered.
No. I totally agree.
Definitely not.
I think it fitted in really to the supporters' point of view, and I think the supporters realise how unhappy the owners and the manager are with the way he's conducted himself and looked after himself. It's just appalling. It's appalling what he's done. But for me, it's draw the line under him now. And the most important topic of conversation wouldn't be what the statement was like. The important topic of conversation is who's going to take his place. Who's coming in? Because we do need someone quick.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be a good one.
It's got to be a top one. Martin, thanks ever so much for your time. Lovely to chat to you. Martin Allen there, loved by all at West Ham, which is not something we can say about Marco Arnautovic. What happens now? He's gone. We're washing our hands of him. Where do you go?
I think that's the thing now. It's so refreshing. It's just it's done. It's behind him, and or it's behind us. And I think the club. I saw. We'll touch on it a bit later on. The squad announcement for the trip to China and who's gone out there. And honestly, it was funny because they threw a load of midfielders into the attacking positions to make it look like we've actually got someone to play up front. But on the whole, that is an outstanding squad we've got there.
It is a strong squad.
If you just bin all the centre forwards off. So I think because of that, you know, there's still a lot of time left to go in the window, and it is easy. I was saying to James before the show that this has fallen at a bad time for someone with my West Ham United temperament, in that I try and look at the bigger picture and step back and try and not go with the roller coaster of up and down emotions that is the transfer window or any week being a West Ham fan. But I just think we've got such a decent squad there. If we can bag two decent strikers, and it doesn't need to be two, and they do both need to be ready and willing to lead a Premier League top half team's forward line every week. We need that. But if we've got that, we are in the best position our club has been in my opinion, for decades.
No, I think we are. And no, I don't disagree with you. I think if you look on paper, and I mean, I thought the exact same thing when I looked at that squad list today, going over to China. I'm surprised, just for Bant, they didn't put on Outreach on there because he's on his way over there as well. Just stick him on there. You know, you've got to fill a few gaps for the forwards. You know, stick him in. But no, on paper, it is a really good squad. Okay, we're a little bit light out front at the moment. But as I said to you before the show, Will, that there's a lot of goals in that midfield. You know, Fornals has got goals, and we saw him for Spain in the under 21 Euros in the summer, and he's done it for Villarreal. You know, Lanzini can net 10 a season, you know, when he's on his game. Noble gets at least 5 penalties, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And Declan Rice will pop up with the odd header every now and then. Yarmolenko's capable. He's back
Anderson,
fit now.
Anderson, yep.
Antonio, Snodgrass. They're all goal scorers. They're all goal scoring midfielders, barring Rice, but you know it will nick one or two. So we've got goals. We just need someone in the box who can put the ball away when we put it in there. And for me, I mean, the big one, I'm sure we'll touch on it a little bit more later, but Chicharito getting that number 9 shirt today. And him saying, it's like, you know, look at me like a new signing. For me, that's a statement. For me, that's a way of him going, you know, I'm not leaving this summer, and I want to help this football club. And I think that's a really, really positive thing to look at.
No, that's him going, oh, I've just had a baby, actually, and it's going to be a right aggravation for me to move house. So I'll have number 9, but I'll stay where I am. Honestly, we will cover Hernandez a bit later on, but the reaction on Twitter to that, and some people saying, oh, he doesn't become a bad striker overnight. I can't hack it, but sorry, Johnny.
No, that's all right. I was going to ask a question, which we'll save for later in the show, which is, it was interesting to hear Martin Allen's response to Chicharito. Now, he's a goal scorer. He plays the last third of the game. He's not going to win you matches. He's got this perception as a poacher, as a super sub, but I don't see why he couldn't start games. We'll come on to that later in the show. And coming up, you're after a replacement. You're after Maxi Gomez. He's dangerous. He's Uruguayan, but he's walking in the mountains and no one's got his phone number. See you in a bit.
This is Love Sport.
With Arnautovic gone, West Ham have identified a potential replacement. He's called Maxi Gomez, plays for Celta Vigo, plays for the Uruguay national team. He's dangerous in front of goal, quick, strong, but he's currently hiking in the Uruguayan mountains and is apparently without phone signal, which is making it very, very easy for Valencia, Barcelona and West Ham to fight over his signing. First of all, do we believe that that's where he is?
Nah, it's all a ploy, Johnny. I mean, he's having been to the Uruguayan mountains myself, I can confirm that the signal was absolutely fine. Therefore, the only conclusion I can logically draw is that he's having second thoughts about going to Valencia. He's using the lack of signal as an excuse, because really, who's been to Uruguay these days? Mm. He's just sitting there talking to his mates and going, you know what, actually, look, have you seen the team list they sent out for their squad to China? I'm walking into that team
every
week.
Yeah, his signal's actually so good that he's streaming West Ham highlights from last year in 1080p.
Exactly, yeah, I think he's doing that. And therefore, I think he's having a little bit of a change of heart, if only that were actually true, though.
See, I've got a different take on this. I've got a different take, naturally.
Mm.
We never agree, do we?
Yeah,
never agree. So I'm not even bothered. bothered. Like, literally don't care.
Face bothered.
Like, I don't... Like, let's have it right. We didn't know who this guy was 7 months ago. We didn't know who he was until we got linked with him in January. We're like, oh, this guy plays in Spain, scores a few goals for Celta Vigo, must be good. Everyone goes, oh, he's the new Suarez.
Must be good.
Oh, he's got to be brilliant. Scored a goal against Barcelona once, must be good. Like, come on. Like, he's not a massive name. I don't think he played a minute for Uruguay in the Copa America. Or if he did, he was a bench player. Like, this is... I'm convinced now that we may have missed... We may have just dodged a bullet here. I know it's conjecture. I know that we don't really know. He might rock up at Valencia and bang in 30 goals and we'll be ruining our opportunity. But I know I genuinely think that this isn't as bad as we think it is. Okay, it's gone on a little bit too long and I'm a little bit annoyed about how this whole saga's gone on a little bit too long because we've now only got a month to bring in another striker. Apparently news has broken today that we might have found that striker already in Sebastian Haller. But like it's taken way too long for us to haggle over a release clause and how we pay that money back, and knowing that the league I want a full release clause, it's in their terms and conditions, it's the way they run their league, and we potentially have missed the boat.
Bearing in mind we're interested in January as well, weren't we?
They knew that we were going to come back from him this
yeah
month.
That's it, yeah.
They knew, and they had 6 months really to get a deal in place. I know that there was umming and ahhing, okay, if they go down his release clause cuts in half. They stayed up, he helped them do that. They wanted the £45 million. But the way I see it, it's just pay the £45 million, pay it up front. You're telling me a Premier League football club hasn't got £45 million up front, it's just lying about in the sofa. We get under £90 million a year in Sky money.
All right, we've got enough money to pay for it.
Okay, you're very, very wealthy. With that in mind, did you get a bit annoyed by the club going, you can have the money, but in 10p instalments over a 10,000-year period?
That's my exact point. We've got the money to pay it for... Everyone goes, oh, we only got £30 million to spend this summer. No, that's rubbish. We've got more money than that. We're a Premier League football club. We have been, for the last 6-7 years we've been in the Premier League. We've got all that Sky money. We've got all that TV money to be able to throw... Look, if Wolves can do it, we can do it.
We've got to pay £2 million for the stadium rent, like, every year, remember?
Yeah, I mean, exactly... If anything, we've got more money than most other clubs. Like, we can pay that money up front, but for some reason, we've haggled, and it's cost us a striker. A lot of people are seeing it as a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. We didn't know anything about this guy 7 or 8 months ago, and now we're annoyed that we haven't signed him. Let's move on to the next player, Sebastian Haller, next West Ham legend.
I must just quickly say, though, on the whole, I do agree with what you're saying. At least the club matched the valuation in the end. And there is a bit of gamesmanship. The Four Nails deal is one in instalments as well. We've got to remember that. So these deals
do happen.
It's the way
clubs do business these days.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think you can be too hard on the club for attempting to get the best deal, including the payment structure that they can.
You can attempt it, but when you realise that it's not going to work, you just got to pay the money. Just pay the money.
But they did, didn't they, to be fair? They eventually said that. Maybe it's a little bit too late and we might have lost out on him. But, you know, at the end of the day, it still looks like it's going to come down to Gomez's decision. We got our hat in the ring eventually, didn't we? But tweet of the week that I've read this week was a tweet from a West Ham fan just saying, with the instalment news, saying, right, I'm just nipping down to the club store now to buy my £60 replica shirt for the season, and I'm going to pay a fiver a month from now until next July.
Fair play.
Yeah, I don't think they accepted it, though. So.
But that is a good point, isn't it? Because if you walked into the club shop and said, all right, lads, call it a fiver a month, they would go, no, that's the price tag. And that's all Celta Vigo have done. When he's got a release clause going, we'll give you that amount, but in 4 years' time, it's very much not how it works.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are forgetting now that if he does end up at Valencia, apparently we offered him X amount a week. I don't know what the actual figure was, but it was £20,000 more a week than what Valencia were offering. And he's gone, do you know what? I'd rather stay in Spain.
Play Champions League.
And play Champions League football for £20,000 less a week. And when I heard that and when I read that report, I thought, well, okay, we can moan about the club taking too long to get a deal over the line as much as we want. But at the end of the day, it's always down to the player. Any transfer deal in the world is always down to the player. And he's gone, oh, I don't really care about the money. I want to stay in Spain. I'm settled in Spain. The lifestyle in Spain is definitely... I mean, where would you rather be, Valencia or Stratford?
Stratford,
honestly, of course.
Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I love London, but I'd rather be in Valencia.
That stadium is the Valencia Stadium, Mestalla as well, is an iconic stadium
exactly.
in Spain,
and
isn't it?
I don't blame him for going, do you know what? I'm being offered a life-changing amount of money anyway. An extra 20 grand a week isn't going to make that much of a difference. I'd rather play in Valencia, in the Champions League, for a little bit less money, and I don't have to really move anywhere. And so I understand it, and I respect that decision. I would have respected him more if he'd have picked West Ham for more money, but that's the way it goes, isn't it, really? So we can moan about the club taking too long over it, but really, when all's said and done, it's down to the player. He's picked Valencia. Good luck to him. I hope he doesn't ever score another goal.
But at this stage, it's still not done, is it?
It's still not done.
No income paper yet, and you know what it's
he
like.
He might just rock up out of nowhere. Maybe that's where he is. He's in Stratford. He's got lost in Westfield.
Get loads of phone signal there.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get lost in Westfield, so maybe that's where he is.
Will you be upset if Gomez isn't the man you get?
No.
I couldn't care less what the name on the back of the shirt is. I just want someone who, A, will put the ball in the net, but more importantly, and you mentioned it earlier, James, about the goal-scoring midfielders we've got. What is so important from a tactical point of view is that we have someone up front, i.e. not Hernandez, who teams and defenders and defensive midfield players in our opposition have to worry about, because that's what opens up the space for these players, isn't it? I'm telling you, Dimitri Payet and Manuel Lanzini in that last season at Upton Park would have been nothing if it wasn't for Sacco running the opposition defenders into the channels left, right and centre, giving them something to worry about, knowing that actually we can't just forget about the centre forward and focus on Payet and Lanzini. We've still got to worry about him, because if Sacco gets the ball within anywhere near the 18-yard box, he slots it in the bottom corner. Mm. And that is vital. And that's, you know, people say about Hernandez all the time.
That's the role Chicharito could play next year.
No, I completely disagree. He's nowhere near mobile enough. He wins no headers whatsoever. He is a classic poacher striker. And that is fine when he was playing in a Man United team or a Real Madrid team who have got 10 other outstanding players on the field. And he's also playing up front with alongside someone, and chances are being created time and time again. Those players and our players that we've got, Anderson and Lanzini, yeah, Snodgrass to an extent, but Yarmolenko more so, they're going to flourish if they've got more time and space in the middle of the pitch. And with someone up front who's running defenders around and winning headers and worrying them on all fronts, not just if the ball's pinging around in the six-yard box, that's going to be what really unlocks defences and gets the most out of our team.
So how likely is it that West Ham don't sign any strikers at all?
Oh, 9 out of 10.
Do you know what? I mean, before we came on air, a couple of hours before we came on air, it's been announced that, or been revealed, as it were, that we've apparently come close to signing this Sebastian Haller at Frankfurt, who, you know, scored at least 10 goals a season in his last 5 years. Seems to be pretty good. Again, similar situation to Gomez. No one really knows what he's all about unless you're a German football expert and you know all about, you know, the German strikers playing in the Bundesliga. You're not going to know much about him. Apparently, we're going to buy him for 40 million quid and it's all going to be done and dusted in the next few days and it's all brilliant. So, even if it's not him, I still think we'll sign a striker, because the way things are going, Hugo's not gone to China with a squad, so he sounds like he's off.
He's done, isn't he? He's not.
Chicharito's got his new squad number, says he's a new signing, so he's definitely staying. But you can't go into a season just with one striker. I thought maybe we'd look at youth, but Zande Silva's not even gone to China as well, so that's another one. I know Antonio played a little bit up front last year and everyone got a little bit excited because he scored a couple of goals.
Not centre-forward, though.
But he's not a centre-forward. I mean, we've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop relying on players like Antonio to fill in the gaps. Antonio's West Ham career can be summed up by him just filling in the gaps. Mm. He's performed everywhere, but it's not fair on him. We can't expect him to do that all the time. Put him in his strongest position and he'll perform even better. I can't imagine this time next month we'll be sitting here moaning that we've not signed another striker. I think at least one, hopefully two, will come in, because we've let Carroll go, we let Perez go. We need to fill those gaps. We need to sort of replenish the squad, or at least those positions. But as you said earlier, Will, if we do bring in these a couple more strikers, good strikers, good quality strikers, the rest of the squad is done.
Yeah, it's fit 100%.
It's ready, so they should be spending the next month just focusing on bringing in a marquee striker. I think they need a marquee striker, and then a backup. Whether that's I don't know. I don't really care who it is, as long as it's someone that can play okay off the bench. And then that's it, really. I think then we're ready. I think we're ready to really push on and achieve what I think we should be achieving, which is at least top 10. You know, next year I'm convinced is top 6 is going to be broken. We need to be one of those teams fighting for that top 6, because there are a lot of teams in that top 6 that are going to fall out of it next year because they're not ready.
You mentioned earlier, didn't you, about Leicester and like Tielemans signing for
Leicester
them?
Leicester signed Tielemans. Wolves look like they're going to get Diego Costa. He's a player. Martin Allen said it earlier. He's a player we should be looking at. Looks like he's going to go to Wolves. They're two teams that are going to be fighting for that top 6 next year. We need to be with them. Yeah. And the only way we're going to do that is we bring in a marquee striker, another backup striker. The rest of the squad's ready to go for me. And we've got the manager.
That 100% most important
and
thing.
Who's playing the right style of football? He had his bending in the season last year, had a couple of problems. He's ironed those out. Let's go. Let's go. But we've got a month to get that position sorted.
West Ham have had quite bad luck when it comes to buying strikers, right? You've had some who've clicked for a while, then haven't. You've had some like Maiga who have flat out flopped.
Whoa. After his goal header at Tottenham away in the League Cup, never have a bad word said about Madiba Maiga. Other than that, he was abysmal. I'll give you that. Sorry,
but
John.
Apart from that, you won't have a bad word to say about
him. I won't
have
a bad word said about him, but I'll say one more bad word about him.
Yeah, the only bad word you're allowed to say about Madiba Maiga is abysmal. But apart from that, you can't say any. Are you worried that even if you sign a Maxi Gomez, you spend 40-something on a big-name striker, it might not work out, because that seems to be what happens at West Ham?
I think there's the stat I read earlier on, and forgive me, I think it's we've signed 37 strikers.
198 goals in some ludicrous amount of games, yeah. Like over 900.
But it was 37 strikers since 2010. That's 9 years. That's ridiculous, really, isn't it? And I do agree, but at the same time, if you look at that period of time, we've had Sacco, who, you know, again, attitude problems, but I honestly care less and less about the attitude stuff these days. If someone only wants to buy in for 2 years and see the club as a step up, happy days. If they can drag the club along with us, because that's what the players have done at Tottenham. You look at Bale, Modric. I'd be more than happy, Ericsson even, I'd be more than happy if we had...
It's the way they do it though, right?
I do agree, but that matters less and less. I want my club to be in the best possible position in the league. And if, obviously you want them to leave nicely and you want to be able to admire them after they've left, but I'd just talk with that Tottenham model, if you like. The reason Tottenham are where they are at the moment is built on the foundation of the money they earned from Bale and Modric, isn't it? Or, you know,
Bale money, to be fair, they wasted.
They had the chance, didn't they? They had the chance to go out and do it rather than just stagnating and trying to go bargain basement all the time.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. That's one of the main things that's annoying about the Arnautovic deal, because we should have got a lot more money than 22.5 million quid for him. And that sort of money...
How much more, honestly, do you reckon?
Well, I genuinely believe that it could have been 30, 35. Mm. He's good enough to go for that. He'd warranted that in terms of his form, particularly towards the end of the season when he decided, OK, I could go in the summer, I'll start playing football. But you get 30, 35 million for him, or even the 40 we could have got in January. I understand why they didn't sell in January, because, you know, you can't buy anyone in January. But to only get 22.5, that just pays for 4 now. Suddenly we're back to square one again. I know I said a minute ago, you know, we've got, you know, we should have enough money to go out and spend 40 million quid flat out on a player, and I'm pretty sure we do. But I understand also that that's not how businesses work. You've got to balance the books somehow. Financial fair play is a big problem as well. But when, you know, when the pressure's on, you've just got to go, you've got to bite the bullet and go for it. It annoys me that we seem to be a club that never gets the right fee for a player that we sell. Pay it only went for 20 million quid. How on earth did we only sell him for 20 million quid?
Because
he was a £50 million player when we sold him. We got 20 million quid for him.
I don't think he was.
I mean,
if you factor his agent and all of that, he was a brilliant player.
If you look at it, he'd had the best season of his career at West Ham in his first season, that last year at Upton Park. He then smashed it for France in the Euros. Yeah. Okay, he had an up and down 6 months after that, up until the following January. But he was still a 40, £50 million player. He'd done enough in that, 18 months, he'd done enough then to go, for us to go, if you want him, then...
But
you pay the money for him. Instead, we've gone, oh, he wants to go, desperate to go, we'll take 20 million quid.
No, but
same thing with Arnautovic. That's technically, we've lost out on 50, 60 million pounds worth of transfer fees on players that have basically gone on strike or just forced their way out of the club.
But that's how they both turned up at us, isn't it?
It is.
Especially, they had form for that.
They had to sell him because they were about to go out of business, because they were facing a fine for financial fair play. We only got him for 10 million, but that was because they were financially in trouble. We were in a position to go, nah, we're 45 million minimum or nothing. And instead, we've sold him for 20. Similar thing with Arnautovic. And this is the problem that West Ham have got, is that we seem to be very, very keen on negotiating transfers to bring them down in price when we're trying to buy. When it comes to selling, we're not getting the right fees. We're not bringing in enough money for these players. I reckon we could have got more for Perez this summer. I reckon we could have got more for Edmilson Fernandez. I think that was about 7 million. I reckon we could have at least got 12 or 15 maybe for him. It's frustrating because you see the likes of Tottenham flogging Gareth Bale to Real Madrid for 100 million quid. Okay, he's a different calibre of player. But Daniel Levy's just gone, if you want him, you pay what we want for him. Oh. And we're going, okay, what are you prepared to pay? 5 million. All right, we'll call it 7 and it's a deal. Like, no.
No.
Like, let's do business properly. This is the market now. We're willing to pay £40 million on a striker. Don't sell your striker for 20 then.
No, right, but it's
complete business probably.
It is completely different. If Gareth Bale's kicking his toys out the pram, refusing to train and all that sort of stuff.
I don't think he was, though, was he?
No, that's exactly my point. Saying if he was, Tottenham don't get the money they did for him. And
They still get 70 or 80 million quid for him. They're not selling him for 20.
Yeah, no. Well, they might get 70 or 80. But that's, yeah. Exactly. It's still the same percentage reduction, perhaps, as Arnautovic's price went down with us. Payet and Arnautovic both came to the club with that bad boy reputation, right? So. Especially the Arnautovic one particularly, it's like, I don't know why anyone is surprised at all. Like, he came to us in a mercenary fashion and he left us in a mercenary fashion. And if he wasn't like that and someone wanted to take him off of our hands when he was more than happy and he wasn't agitating for a move, that's when they have to, the clubs pay the big bucks, isn't it? It's not just as simple as the club turning around and going, nah, we want 40 million for him. Because the clubs know, as the club trying to buy the players know, as do the players themselves, that the manager doesn't want that bad egg. It's been blatantly clear from this Arnautovic situation that Pellegrini just, he was like, whatever, just go, 22 million, 20 million, whatever, just get out of my club. I don't want you here. And the value that you might lose financially, Pellegrini is obviously putting way more emphasis on the value of a club and a squad who are all pulling in the same direction, which is the same reason Payet had to, well, we had to get rid of him as well, because people don't want players like that around the club, do they? They want players pulling the right direction, and players like that are worth less, aren't they?
I definitely get it, but I don't think that we can expect to be on the same level as the way Tottenham operate until we start negotiating harder for players that we want to sell.
Well, the first step in getting to the level that Tottenham operate on is getting a striker, possibly not quite like Harry Kane, but certainly who's going to bang him in on a consistent basis. Coming up, is Chicharito that man?
This is Love Sport.
What on earth is quinoa? I love that premise. What on earth is quinoa? Bizarre. What on earth is West Ham's attacking lineup looking like? At the moment, it's Chicharito Hernandez and Chicharito Hernandez only. Normally when you get peas, you get a few. You've got one and he's little. Is he the man to lead it?
No. Next.
That's straightforward. You don't have faith in him.
Will's really against this. And he's not Hernandez's biggest fan. And I was just saying off air that at the beginning of the summer, I was convinced he was going to go, and I was convinced Arnautovic was going to stay. We didn't really see that Arnautovic thing unfolding until it happened, and then suddenly he's gone. And, you know, we're happy that he has now. But after Arnautovic went, I was a little bit worried. I was like, if Hernandez goes as well, because he has made it quite clear that he'd be quite happy to leave the club. But if he did stay, he wouldn't mind. He was quite professional about it, which Arnautovic could learn a few things from. But I was like, if he goes as well, then we need to buy three strikers in a month, and that's a big worry, because as we've just established in the last section, that, you know, we can't buy strikers. We're rubbish at buying strikers. literally, it's proven we can't buy strikers. To buy three in a month going into a season where we should be looking to be challenging Leicester and Wolves for the top six, or at least the top eight minimum, like, that's a big worry for me. So today's statement, he's been given a number nine shirt. He's come out and said, just see me as a new signing. You know, I wear this number for Mexico. See me as a new signing. And then it comes out that Pellegrini said that, you know, he's been given an important role in the team. That, for me, I can only see positives in this, because it means that we only have to buy two strikers in a month. And that takes the pressure off the club messing up three times. You mess up two times with two strikers. At least you've got Hernandez still in the squad to score, you know, the odd goal inside the box. Like, this, he is a proven goal scorer. I'm not saying he's the best goal scorer in the world. I'm not saying he's the most mobile. I'm not saying he wins many headers, but he's a striker. And we don't have any of those. Hugill, I was like, we're going to go into the season with Hugill. He's not even gone to China. So he's gone. We've got one striker. We can't just go, oh, okay, well, it's fine. We'll just buy four in a month. We need to just keep what we've got now, really. And even if we did try and sell him, we'd probably sell him for $1 million, because we're rubbish at selling players as well.
No, but, right, Pellegrini, I'm just imagining this conversation now, right? Pellegrini, you're saying now, he's told him he's got a big role at the club. That's like me and you getting up, walking out the studio, and then the producer poking his head through the door and going, Johnny, you're the best broadcaster in this room.
Thank you.
It's easy to say, isn't it? Like, imagine just going into Hernandez and going, oh, you're so important to me. If I was sitting there going, well, yeah, because if I'm gone, you're playing Declan Rice and, like you say, Jordan Hugo up front.
Declan Rice up front, we should try that.
I think it's a lot of empty words, I think. And I've had a few things on Twitter today, people saying, oh, you don't just become a bad striker overnight. I'm like, no, he's done it over a long period of time.
But do you think he is a bad striker?
I don't think he's that bad.
There were moments last year where he was great for you.
Right, we play a style at West Ham, we have done for a while now, where our centre forward needs to be an all rounder. Whether we need an Arnautovic who can go in the channels, who can hold the ball up on his own, who can win headers. We need a Sacco who is a similar sort of player. He could do a bit of everything. And we've seen I'm not just going at Hernandez, but whether it's Hernandez or Carroll, the either ends of the centre forward spectrum, those are both players who I believe play better football alongside someone else. And that's kind of the way football's going anyway. We're going to play one striker this season, aren't we? That's a fact. We're going to play one striker, only because we've only got one. But
yeah, exactly.
We're going to play one up front. And for that to work and that style, as it did really well with Arnautovic and then Sacco looking back a little bit longer, for that style to work, you need an all-rounder. And for, you know, whether you think he's a good finisher or not, Hernandez is not an all-round striker. He just doesn't work in that system and that side. And it's really making me upset.
don't get upset. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I think I do get what you're saying. And I'm convinced that we're going to sign a marquee striker between now and the beginning of the season.
And he is the second highest earner at the club. That's so important to remember as well.
Yeah, you're right. He might not be once this new guy comes in, if he does come in. I don't know. I just think that, you know, if you're going to have a backup striker in your ranks, like he showed last year, he scored, not, I think, 8 or 9 goals last year, and he was our second-choice striker, which is pretty good going for a second-choice striker that didn't really want to be there. He scored some very, very important goals. That 2 against Huddersfield, we won 4-3. Without him, without those goals, and you say don't win headers, the winner was a header. I know he didn't mean it, but it was a header.
The one he punched in against Fulham.
Yeah, the one he punched in against Fulham. I mean, he can use all parts of his body to score goals. I just think, like, it's a good thing that we're keeping him. I think that's the main thing. I think, you know, we need strikers. We've got a striker that scored over 50 Premier League goals. He produced last year when we needed him most. Okay, he's not the most consistent. Okay, doesn't particularly fit our style of play. But off the bench, you know, he's a good player. He's a good option to have off the bench, no?
Off the bench, perhaps, maybe. Can I just ask you one thing? Because I think it's quite clear how we both feel about Hernandez now. But you touched on it there, and I think that's quite key as well. You said, you know, he's made it clear that he doesn't really want to be there, or he wouldn't mind staying. Is that really what we want at the club? Do we want players who don't mind being there? And especially what Pellegrini's doing, he's trying to get away from that sort of thing, isn't he?
The difference here, and me and Frankie spoke about this in depth last week after Snodgrass had his contract announced, in that I think that there's wanting to leave, and then there's wanting to leave. And by that, I mean that, you know, you can want to leave, but then be professional enough to go, okay, I'm not going to leave, but I'm going to give my all for the shirt. Martin Allen said it on the phone earlier that if Zaha doesn't get his move to Arsenal this January, he's not going to down tools at Palace. He's going to try 110% for Palace until January at least, if not for the rest of the season until next summer. Hernandez is a player that will still give 110% for the shirt. Snodgrass is the ultimate professional, which we spoke about last week. A player that most footballers should be looking up to and going, I want to be like him as a professional, because he looked like he was out the door. He probably couldn't wait to leave after all that stuff come out with Sullivan and what his son had said about him, begging him not to sign him, and he tweeted about it. But he came back and he stayed, and he's got himself back in the team. He's now a fan favourite, got his contract extension. So players might want to leave, but it doesn't mean to say that they're not going to perform and not play for the shirt. I think Hernandez is a professional that will, despite really wanting to leave the football club, like he, you know, he looked like he wanted to leave last year, he still gave 110% for the shirt, and that's what we want. Unlike he who must not be named.
This is definitely an agree to disagree, I must admit, with Hernandez.
You'd be happy with him in the squad, though. You're relegating him to
not 140 grand a week.
Let's have it right. Would you rather have coming off the bench? It's 1-1 against Watford at home. Right, and we need to win to go sixth. Right, I'm really building this up.
This is going to be such a politician setup, isn't it?
Watford are battling relegation, and you know we're going, I can't believe it. We're only drawing 1-1 to Watford. Sorry, Watford fans, if you are listening, why would you be listening to this if you're a Watford fan? But it doesn't matter. And then you got a choice. You got Hernandez coming off the bench last 15 minutes, or you've got Jordan Hugo come off the bench last 15 minutes. Who would you rather?
No, but that doesn't have to be the choice, does it?
Currently, it is the choice, because they're the only two strikers at the football club.
Well, that, no, because if that's a choice, then if it's Hernandez coming off the bench, that means Hugo started. So I don't want that. No, I think the Hernandez thing has been done. I just think him giving 110%, he's the second highest earner at the club. He's not even in the top 7 contributors, I don't think. I think there is easy 7 or 8 players that are better than Hernandez and contribute more to the team at the club, yet he's still the second earner. I think, regardless, all right, the whole striker situation makes it a little bit more difficult now, i.e. that we've got none. But before that, I honestly wanted him to be the first one out the door at the end of last season. But hey,
well, staying. Well, for now, he's your only striker to such an extent that with the squad's announcement for the trip to China, the club put Yarmolenko, Antonio and Anderson in the forward section just to make it look like you actually have some coming up. It's not just Arnautovic who's off to China. This is Love. It's the West Ham fan show on Love Sport Radio. And earlier in the show, Will Pugh said, listen, I won't hear a bad word against Modibo Maiga. It turns out that he will not only hear but say some really, really bad words about Chicharito Hernandez, which luckily he waited until the microphones were down before revealing to us. But safe to say, he's not particularly welcome at West Ham as far as Will Pugh is concerned. And West Ham are off to China. It's a pre-season tour. Are you looking forward to this? Are you going to be following them out there?
Well, I'm quite glad that we can watch it on Sky, which is nice. We can watch it on TV and watch a friendly, which I don't really care about pre-season, if I'm honest, because it means nothing. I hate it when we will lose a pre-season game and then the fans will go, oh, are we going to get relegated? Oh, it'd be like the first piece. We've got one tomorrow, haven't we, against Altac?
That's it.
Which we'll probably lose 1-0.
Someone will get a season-ending injury as well.
Yeah, we won't score. We haven't got any strikers.
but apart from that, great.
But fans will go, oh no, oh, we're going to go down. This is a disgrace. Can't believe it. It's like they've only been back 5 minutes, and you're moaning like we're playing like, how can you lose to a fourth division German team? It's like, well,
lost to Astra Gira, good.
Yeah, I mean, and they were the Romanian champions, and you threw your toys out the pram then. So I don't read much into pre-season. It's quite nice that we're going to this Asia Trophy and, you know, it's going to be on TV and fans can watch it. I did see fans... There was an article on a West Ham blog moaning about the cost of going to China to watch it. And it was like, don't go then. Like, literally, don't go. Like, oh, it's going to cost £2,000 to go watch West Ham in pre-season. Don't spend the money then, mate. Like, it's not... It shouldn't be an issue. It's pre-season. It's not for fans. It's for the players to get fit and ready for the new season. Embed the new signings into it. It's great to be able to watch us play Newcastle. Man City, and is it someone else?
Couldn't tell you the first
Leicester
one.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's just a pointless money making competition. But it's good that we're involved because normally we don't get invited onto these little things, do we?
No, definitely.
So fine. Brilliant, great. We'll get battered by City about 9-0 because they love scoring loads of goals against us.
Or we'll then, get a result against them in a friendly.
And then we'll lose on the first day of the season because that's what West Ham do, isn't it?
I do think, though, on a serious point about this, the China trip, exactly what you said there about us not normally getting invited on these sort of things, I think it's quite low-key encouraging. Again, just a bit of a signal about the direction the club's going. Because in seasons past, you'd sort of turn your nose up when Man United and Liverpool and Manchester City and Chelsea and Tottenham are playing in America or in China. You think, oh, what are they flying all the way around the world for? But it's kind of like, it's what big clubs do, isn't it? And the fact that we are doing something like that, rather than the classic Austria or Switzerland, which tends to be out. I think we've got a couple of villas out there. No, that's what I'm saying. Sorry, rather than that being the sole trip, and then you come and have a game against Southend, Gillingham, and someone else that's round the corner who fancies a kickabout on a Tuesday night. I actually think it's quite a sort of another low key sign about the direction the club's going and the sort of thing that Pellegrini and those in. And the powers that be, if you will, they're pushing us in the right direction.
Yeah, mate, I was thinking about it. I mean, there's a couple of reasons probably why we're going to China. I mean, one of them is probably Pellegrini's still got a lot of belongings back there from when he was manager.
Just talk Arnie back around. Please take me back.
He's got to pop back and just pick up a few boxes that he left at his old gaff. And then it's just to drop Arnie out of it off because they might as well stick him on the plane.
That's three birds, one stone, isn't it, this trip?
I mean, and get a bit of fitness in, you know, a few drills on the training pitch, get battered by City. So it's good. And I think I love that they've got the whole... Now we can actually use the stadium before... A week before the season starts, we've got the curtain raiser home friendly before the season starts with Atletico Bilbao.
The Betway Cup, isn't it?
The Betway Cup, because the last couple of years not been able to use the stadium because it's been used for other stuff. So it's good that we've been able to do that this year because I used to love those. They always go to penalties and we always win, weirdly. And it'd be good because I can guarantee the last time we did that was Juventus on the big curtain raiser, wasn't it? And then we ended up signing the match winner, Simone Zaza. So have a look at who Bilbao strikers are. Yeah. They've got Naki Williams, haven't they? So maybe we could tie him. Hopefully he scores the winner.
Not really central enough for you.
That's all right. We'll fit him in. We play Antonio anywhere, so just buy Naki Williams. Like, hopefully he scores against us.
We are the Betway Cup holders as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
Giants. No, huge.
Giants are the Betway. I mean, it's not a fix, is it?
But only West Ham as well could create a tournament like that and then not win it for like 4 years running.
True.
Arsenal do it. Arsenal do it on a consistent basis with the Emirates Cup, which is equally prestigious.
It's because they keep inviting bigger clubs than Arsenal.
Yeah,
so we can just never beat them.
Pretty much anyone at the moment. The West Ham squad, apart from the strikers, which obviously have dominated the show, looks amazing. You've got Yarmolenko coming back, who will be, as the old cliche goes, like a new signing. If you can bring in one or two centre-forwards, how good are you looking?
Outstanding, honestly. That is the one thing that was sort of... If this show had fallen and we'd signed a striker, it'd been completely different. And that's what I was saying to James off air, and I've been, for some inexplicable reason, I'm just extremely frustrated this week, mainly because I'm listening to a man whose opinion I respect and I consider a friend of mine telling me that Javier Hernandez is really good at football. But no, I think we're in a fantastic position, and I think that is what's frustrating me the most at the moment. It's because we're so close. We're so close to... I wasn't exaggerating earlier on. I think this could be, if we tie in a couple of decent strikers, the best squad we've had in is decades rather than a couple of seasons.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's frustrating. It feels a little bit like the transfer version of the last season at Upton Park when we were three or four games left in the season and there was a chance we could still get Champions League, and then we went and lost a 4-0 at home to Swansea, beat Man United and then lost to Stoke on the last game of the season. This feels like the transfer window version of that, and I'm just desperate for us not to pull the defeat to Swansea, i.e. not buying a single striker. So we're so close.
Well, we are so close. And if that striker can come in, things are going to be looking very, very good ahead of next season. Join us next week on the West Ham Fan Show when hopefully Will Pugh will have calmed down a bit and there'll be a striker other than Chicharito in Stratford. Join us then.
Love Sport. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.